Summertime is oftentimes a relaxing time, at least I hope it is for you, as you're able to get out and move around. And this, not too long ago, was one of those days when I was kind of busy around here, and I had spent a lot of time at my desk. I'd just been all over the building working with different staff to finish up several projects. And someone said, "Pastor, you know, you probably haven't checked your emails in a while. Why don't you go check your inbox?" I go, "Well, I'll get to it. After all, my mailbox is whatever appears there in the last few hours. The way things change nowadays, it's probably going to self-destruct soon, right?" Well, I finally got back to my desk, and curiosity got the best of me, and I had some strange announcement on there. The title said, "There's some kids in your mailbox." I go, "What? Kids in your mailbox?" Well, I went and checked, and sure enough, there were several children in my inbox. There were. Actually, it was a big, new, irresistible picture of my grandkids. Yay! We got Harrison in the red and Caleb back in the coat and tie. And then their sister, Elise, she's holding one of the twins. And then Lydia down in the right corner, her brother Lucas. And then the two twins that are now five. So that gives you an idea. That's a couple years ago of five-year-old Evelyn and Brielle. Upper left is at my daughter's cabin up a little bit further north from here. You can see, look at the look on Lucas's face there. The hat. You think they're having a good time? I got some treats. I stopped at the bakery, so I had two different kinds, and who was going to pick what? So we did. I made a game of it, and we just had a ball doing that. Well, these pictures came. What do you think that did to my face and my heart? Just loved it, loved it. There those kids were lying in my inbox, and the significance of all that was, as I thought about that, the inbox is where you find the things that need your attention, right? You kind of dread sometimes those emails or texts, whatever it happens to be. You kind of go, "Oh, nuts, I got to deal with it." In this case, it was a good thing. It's something I needed to direct attention to. Okay, so how that ties into what we're talking about this morning is this. There may be a boy or a girl or a wife or husband or loved one or friend in your inbox of life right now, it needs your attention. Your attention. You see, the problem may be that a lot of other things are demanding your attention right now. I'm guessing if we were to go around the room, you could all come up with a few things that you're engaged in. Yeah. I mean, you got the pressures. You got deadlines? How about problems? No one here has problems, right? Yeah, right. There's your careers if you're still in the working mode. And your finances with this inflation that's going on right now? Wow, what do we do? How do we handle it? And then there's the people you work with, whether it's volunteer or otherwise. You got some great people, but there's also some more challenging folks. And then there's the people you work for. And what is it? They all want a piece of you, right? Well, what does that formula create? Doesn't it create an atmosphere of stress and perhaps worry, maybe a bit of fear? And what happens? The important but not urgent things of life get what? Pushed to the back burner. I'll get to it. I'll get to it someday. Now, even though our world has changed drastically since the time of Jesus some 2,000 years ago on this earth, their homes during their entire lives were different than ours are currently. I mean, they didn't walk around with some kind of a day timer, whether on their phones or otherwise. They weren't talking on cell phones. They weren't checking emails or texting anybody. And so, with all those things going on, Jesus still challenged them, and you're going to see by application for you and me today, Jesus kind of tossed out a challenge to them to not worry or be afraid. In fact, here's what he said. We just sang it to him just a bit ago. But here's what Jesus told them in our text for this morning. Don't be afraid, little flock. Flock would be those sheep that the shepherd is watching over. So he's saying we're underneath our under-shepherd. The Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. He wants these good things for you. He wants it. He's pleased. And here's the punchline. You can go to sleep after this phrase because this is the punchline to the whole sermon. Please don't. But for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If you've been around Christianity or the church long, you've heard that how many millions of times? I mean, it's one of those that's so important and so significant. But what's Jesus doing with this concept? He's making it crystal clear that fear of all these pressures and stuff that are going on can keep us from focusing on those things in life that are truly important. I mean, those are such a simple concept, but how easy it is to follow through. Not that easy. Now, because I love my family, I'm anxious to get home at the end of the day to see my wife. See every chance I get to see my daughters, Laura and Jessica and Amanda, and their husbands and kids. Got 3 daughters and 2 sons-in-law and 7 grandchildren and a whole bunch of, what do you call those, pets kind of thing. All those things. And I look forward to hearing about what those folks are doing that I love and care about the most. I want to know what they're up to. I'm anxious to hear about them because that's where my heart is. Sad to say, even as I say those words, I have to admit, I don't always treat them as if they truly are the treasure of my heart. I'm not proud of that fact, but I suspect I'm not alone, right, in that self-assessment. Now, I regularly deal with people, been doing this about 50 years now, and that's both good and bad. I see some wonderful folks, but I also see some more difficult folks. And sad to say, I see an awful lot of Christian folks, folks who love the Lord, that's true, but who are so distracted when it comes to family or church or other important parts of life. And some folks are so distracted by good things happening. Wow, that's marvelous, especially summertime. You're able to take some trips, go here, go there, maybe have get-togethers and all that stuff, and you get busy. Others are distracted by difficulties. And still others by personal failure, that things just are not going well. Now, when we're honest with ourselves, most of us live each day with little thought about the possibility of Jesus' return at the end of the world. How many of you were thinking about that this week? You don't think about it. I mean, we say as Christians, we know it's coming somewhere down the road, but not this week. I mean, I've got it on my calendar for the future, not for the current. We don't think about that. And we wake up each day and go about our busy days. That's appropriate. That's good. We fall in bed late at night, exhausted in the midst of all of these things. That's good, too. We need our rest. But the punchline, isn't it? Jesus reminds us in our text today of the uncertainty of our future. And I know, as I go around the room, each of you has know what I'm talking about there. The future, uncertain. Well, the point of his message in our text today is to be on our toes. I love this little picture. Every little kid. Last night we had a baptism his name was Abel Reese. Abel Reese is his name. And baptized his brother two years ago, and it's Justin and Hannah Reese. They're newer members of the congregation. But we had about 20 folks here from that. But sure enough, the little guys, they're dancing around on their toes because there were other cousins and so on here. It's fun to see. There's even a lot of screams. But they're good screams, not the kind that you guys make. The point of the message is be on our toes. I mean, don't let the distractions of life allow you to drift away from the things of life that are ultimately important. Now, I don't think anybody among us, or most of us anyway, would argue with the statement that Jesus drove home regarding priorities. And here's what he said, verse 34 of our text for this morning. Maybe. Do not be afraid. There he says it again. With all the distractions, don't be afraid. Those are words of assurance, aren't they? You know, when mom or dad say, don't be afraid, you kind of go, okay, because mom or dad said so. That's what Jesus is doing, words of assurance. And he tells us why. Your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom, to be part of his family, all the things that go with that. Now, it seems to me that the thing or person I want to spend the most time with or spend my money on or think about the most is probably the thing or person most important to me, right? What do you think? Make sense? Well, Jesus is reminding us today that life is about more than making the next appointment, retrieving all the emails, aiming for the next promotion, or taking dream vacations. All fine, nothing wrong with any of those things unless they kind of take over our primary thoughts. So Jesus is reminding us of what really matters because he understands our tendency to get wrapped up in the things of this life. Now, many of these may be good things, but they can become a higher priority than living in the loving and trusting relationship, first of all, with God, and secondly, with one another. I mean, these things or people become the focus of our lives, the reason we get up in the morning. And to this, Jesus offers us words of comfort. He says it again. Don't be afraid. Your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. So, what's the ultimate thing of importance in life? Isn't it centered in Jesus? Yeah, it is. The Savior of the world. I mean, without a belief and trust relationship with Him, we remain separated, first of all, from our holy God, but it also kind of separates us from other folks of like mind. But because of Jesus' death on that cross 2,000 years ago, the penalty of our sins has been paid for. We're forgiven. We're restored to our Heavenly Father and have heaven to look forward to, all because of that relationship. And we call that whole concept faith. Faith. And isn't that the heart of Christianity, my friends? Faith? Yeah, it is. How understanding are we of the concept of faith? You got a full picture of it? Nah, there's so many things that we don't quite grasp. If you listen to the Old Testament lesson that Bob read for us earlier about Abraham and Noah and all these Sarah, these different people, they were promised by God, but it didn't happen during their lifetime. And so they're kind of scratching their heads and saying, really, God? You mean it? Can I depend on you? And God says, trust me. You don't have to understand it all. And I surely don't understand it all, but I accept it. I accept the things that I know and trust the things that I don't know. And it's Jesus' life, death, and resurrection that has made it all possible for us to be reunited and restored, first to our caring and gracious Heavenly Father for all eternity. Secondly, it allows us to gather, like this morning, to be with other folks of like mind, because you listen to the news, you listen to on the internet or read the papers, if there is such a thing anymore. And what's going on in the world, and you kind of shake your head and say, ain't it awful? Because it probably is. But we know the end of the story, and that's where we cling to that hope that we have. I don't grasp it all, but I trust. Now, knowing these facts about, first of all, our sin that separates, and God's forgiveness that restores us, and the difference faith in Jesus can make for all eternity, you think maybe you and I ought to be doing everything in our power to be sure those most treasured folks in our lives also have an opportunity to experience Jesus. We don't convert anybody. All we have to do is share what we know. So, brings me to the challenge for this morning. What am I asking you to do when you walk out these doors this morning? I'm challenging you, as well as myself, to more seriously think about your life choices. Because we make choices every day. What are we going to do? How are we going to think? How are we going to respond? Those are choices. And I want you to be asking yourself, what is really important to me? What is it that drives me? What's motivating me to actions? What is the thing, ultimately, that I truly am passionate about? Okay, you got those things in your mind? Those people in mind now? Good. Now, listen again to the punchline, Luke 12:34. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Such a simple concept, but hard to do. It's Jesus giving us a simplistic formula for life, isn't he? Of course. For folks living in a very complex world, we live in a complex world. Anybody who says otherwise doesn't know what's going on. But you see, Jesus understands the concepts of priorities. And he's reminding us to not only think about our actions or directing or redirecting our top priorities in life, but then to follow through. So here's the challenge. What can you do today or tomorrow or the next day to strengthen that connection between you and your treasured loved ones? That was a special day up at the lake. We had a ball. That was important, and it sure brings a smile every time I look at that picture. What are you going to do? You know, no one needs you more than that child of yours, or grandchild, or spouse, or grandson, granddaughter, close relative, or friend. And the principle is the same for all of that. You are the only mommy, or daddy, or husband, or wife, or loved one, or close friend that they have. And they need you. They need you. And though they may not demand your attention like other things and other people do with all the things that come at us in life, they really need your attention more than the things that are around you. Other things, you don't neglect them, of course not. But those things most important deserve your attention. Proverbs 27 tells us why. It gives us a blueprint for living wisely. I love this. Be sure you know the condition of your flocks. Give careful attention to your herds. Now, some of you are coming from farming communities and farming backgrounds, so you get that. Those livestock, whether it's, in this case, cattle or sheep or pigs or whatever it might be, or the grains in the field, if you don't care for them, things don't go so well. And in Proverbs, so we're talking thousands of years ago, it's saying you better pay attention to those things that are under your care, those things that you have control over. Give careful attention to your herds. Make application now for you and me. What does that mean? In other words, stay up to date on what belongs to you. And if a person is supposed to give careful attention to their animals, well, surely you get the point. It's your responsibility to always know the condition of that child or spouse or other loved one God has entrusted to you. And the question is, how you doing? Are you taking daily time to listen to that child if you happen to have them at home? Or your spouse? That's a hard one because we get busy. Or that loved one or friend? To make that child feel loved, to know that they're special, do you give that child all of what you are, at least for a little while each day, if you have the kids, or whoever it happens to be? And if you don't, well, you likely lose track of who they are, especially with kids. They grow so fast. We need to know who they're becoming. And God goes on to point out some of the consequences of not paying attention to what's yours. Proverbs 27, again. For riches do not endure forever, in case you didn't know that. And the crown is not secure for all generations. Power, prestige, we got national elections coming up, local elections coming up in a few months. Those things change. We don't know who's going to be where. They don't last forever from generation to generation. In other words, what you neglect, you can start to lose. And if that's a son or a daughter, ooh, or a wife or a husband, oh man, then that's way, way, way too high a price to pay. In fact, God is so serious about our relationships with our children and loved ones and friends that he even makes it a qualifying standard for anyone who wants to be a spiritual leader in the gathering together of the church. It's a spiritual requirement for leaders. He's got a couple places. Paul wrote it this way in 1 Timothy 3, 4, and 5. God says he, talking about, you want to be a spiritual leader? Must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him with proper respect. Man. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? Wow. Now, right now, my friends, you may be seeing in a son or daughter or grandson, granddaughter of yours the effect of, I guess I'm going to call it a form of ADD. That is attention deficit disorder. Now, in the case I'm talking about here, they're showing signs of deficit in your attention. That they're not getting it. So it might be a good day, good week, to check your inbox. Because there might be a son or a daughter, a spouse, a loved one or friend in there desperately needing you. Needing your priority attention. Needing to be reassured of your love. And even more importantly, being reassured of the love of God as found in Jesus Christ. And you know, no matter what else you have to do, you just don't have anything more important to do than give them the attention that they need. Amen.